It's become known as the Loud Music Murder Trial, another high-profile test of the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, and the jury's expected to get the case today. To recap, 47-year-old Michael Dunn, a white man, is accused of the first-degree shooting murder of Jordan Davis, a black teenager, during an argument over the teen's loud car music at a Jacksonville gas station in 2012, just months after the Trayvon Martin case. Dunn took the stand yesterday and claimed Davis had a gun, but no gun was ever found. And Dunn's fiancée, who came out of the gas station's mini-mart right after the shooting, contradicted key parts of his testimony. Law professor Joel Moreno teaches at Florida International University and served on a state legislative panel examining the Stand Your Ground law. And Joel, there's no question that Michael Dunn was coming from his son's wedding and pulled into the gas station where he said something about the loud music. Then even Jordan Davis's friends, who were also in his car, say he verbally escalated things. But then, Dunn claims Davis threatened him and got out of the car and came at him. What does the medical examiner say about that?
I understand that the trajectory of the bullet wound suggests that Davis was sitting at the time he was shot, not that he was standing up outside of the car.
Yeah, sitting and leaning away from something. As the teens in the car are also backing in the way, they're trying to back their car out. As Michael Dunn goes to his glove compartment, gets his gun and takes it out of his holster, the point people making with this is that he had took some time here. How can he claim stand your ground if the car is pulling away?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's complicated. The stand your ground statute should not really apply to situations where people are trying to get out of harm's way. But unfortunately, it seems like, at least in Florida, our statute and the way it's been applied, it sometimes does.
Well, and Michael Dunn said he was shooting and continued to shoot because he thought that there might be blind gunfire that might hit his fiancée, who, again, he expected to come out of the mini-mart. Now, she did, and then they left and went to a hotel they were staying in, stayed overnight, didn't call police. It wasn't until the next day that he claims that he called a law enforcement friend. She says she doesn't remember him making that call. This does seem so damaging, somebody leaving the scene.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very interesting case because I think it's going to push people's willingness to accept a stand your ground defense given these facts, especially having heard Ms. Royer's testimony yesterday, given that she contradicts him on some of the critical points. She didn't see a gun, and the story about what happened afterwards, his version of the story of his placing a phone call to report the incident, is contradicted by her testimony.
Yeah. Well, you've told us you think this may be the case that leads to changes in the law. Tell us more.
Yeah, I think people like to say that stand your ground doesn't incentivize people to behave in certain ways, but it really does shape our understanding of when we can use deadly force, and in particular, when we can use guns for self-protection. And I think the question in this case, and also in our movie theater case pending in Florida as well, is, do we want to immunize people who pull out guns and shoot other people during what are essentially schoolyard-type fights about texting and car radios and other trivial matters?
You mentioned the theater case. That's the argument that started over texting, and then a man shot another man because he thought he was being attacked. It turned out to be by popcorn. But are you surprised that this case, the case of the loud music, yes, it's been on CNN, but are you surprised it's not resonating more?
I am surprised about that. I think the facts of this case are far more compelling than the Trayvon Martin case in terms of highlighting the problems with the Stand Your Ground statute. And I am surprised that more attention is not being paid. After the Trayvon Martin verdict, there was a fairly substantial protest in Tallahassee, and Governor Rick Scott finally met with the protesters, and I think the message was quite clear that at least under this gubernatorial administration, nothing's going to change with respect to Stand Your Ground, but this is an election year for Florida, and so I would be very surprised if Stand Your Ground is not an issue for the gubernatorial election.
That's Joel Moreno, law professor at Florida International University. Thanks so much.
Thanks. It was terrific to talk to you.